You're listening to Novelbound, a podcast dedicated to making you laugh and keeping you company. Each week, we're sharing all of our favorite books and the embarrassing side of life.
Welcome back to Novelbound. I'm Anna.
And I'm Celine.
And today, we are talking about all things Christmas books. All the recs, everything.
And these are all the Kindle Unlimited recs and Audible included recs. So if you have those accounts, this is not sponsored. But I just figured, like, this is the most accessible way to get very cheap books. And so, so I went through all of the Audible, included with your membership reads. So it's not even stuff that you have to buy. And then I scoured through. And I mean, you know it's a cesspool in there. I scoured the Kindle Unlimited reads. And we have a lot. I've read 10, listened to 4. So, and honestly, they're all amazing and delicious. And I've been listening since the first day of November. So everyone, here we go.
Okay. Yeah, but now because you have, look at all the recs we have.
Yeah. No, I know it's a sacrifice to read jolly Christmas books involving romance and escapism.
It's so hard.
It was so difficult, and you all should just give us a 5-star rating specifically because I worked so hard for this. Yeah. Personal note, so Tanner graduates in 3 days. It's Tuesday, December 13th. I am cleaning. I feel like this is a relatable thing for the holidays. I am pretending to, I'm like, I don't know why I'm doing this because my parents saw me as a child. They know how disgusting I am. And I'm like, no, they can never know that my house is a mess. And so I am now cleaning for the holidays and it is horrific. It's taken hours.
Yeah. Why is it so stressful to have to clean for people to come visit you? Like, we don't have anyone staying with us, but, like, when we do, like, family gatherings at our house,
It
is, like, all hands on deck.
It is.
Everything. Suddenly, Jalen is like, let's wash the, like, something from 3 months ago, a dish towel that we've never used so that we can have it out for them.
Jalen and like, I are the same person. Isn't that what we've decided about, like, cleaning? Like, me and Jalen are,
yes.
Like, we clean the same way where we're, like, we put things into piles and then it kills you and Tanner, right? Is that what it is?
It slowly kills my soul, yes. Jalen is like an out of sight, out of mind person, but I'm like an everything has a home person.
I clean things very quickly and I can get things going, but there is like 17 junk drawers. And I know what's in every single drawer, but Tanner has to like have it out on the counter.
But that is a difference.
And I'm like, no, you can't have anything on the counter because if I see it, it will like trigger my weird OCD because I don't know why I'm OCD and ADHD. So that means that I just forget things and also can't sit still. I don't know. Anyways.
At least you know the things that are in the drawers. Like Jalen blindly puts things away when I'm like, where could this be? And he's like, I have no idea. And I'm like, I know for a fact that
like
you're
a scavenger hunt, but for your sanity.
It could not be more accurate. It is.
You're like, I remember it being in this room one time 3 months ago and it might be on the left side underneath the bed. I did kick something there and I have found cash money. I have found like $40 randomly. Like I don't know why, like my past self, whenever I find cash, I'm like, you know what I should do? I should shove it in one of these random junk drawers. And so every single time every 6 months I have like an awakening where I was like, you know what? I can feel like all of the clutter inside of the drawers. That means I must like feed on all of it and like sort it. I always find like $100 of cash because I think like whenever I'm like getting cash out for a babysitter, I don't know why I'm putting it. Nobody robbed me. If you could, you wouldn't be able to find the freaking cash because I have it. I love it. Tanner and I used to have a joke that like whatever cash we'd find while we were cleaning, we could use to like go out to dinner.
Hey, you know what? If it works, it works.
Maybe that's it. I'm rewarding myself.
You are. Past Celine is like, future Celine is going to love me for this.
I love that. What's your hobby? I hoard money accidentally.
Accidentally. That's the key word here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool. I was about to go off a really weird tangent where I was just like, isn't it weird that money's like digital now? And it's like kind of like a fabricated idea. And I was like, Celine, stop. Celine, stop.
It is.
The second I see cash, I'm like, I can spend that because it's not real. Or that's like, you know what I mean? Like, if I see cash, it's mine.
That's how I feel too. And what's weird is, like, I feel like more and more businesses are like preferring people to do cash.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we don't have to get into the whole thing, but yeah.
Anyways, so Merry Christmas. What do you want?
Me? For Christmas?
Yeah.
You know what is so funny? I have not let myself buy a stupid Kindle. And so I was like, Jalen, give me a Kindle for Christmas, but only if you can find it on sale. I've refused to pay full price.
Didn't I text you on like Black Friday? And I was like, homie, don't forget.
You texted me before Black Friday and you were like, hey, I think it's on sale. And I was like, you're right, it is on sale. Didn't buy it. On Black Friday, it was on sale. I didn't buy it. I don't know what's wrong with me.
No, same. We are both like, I think that the day you get it, I will get it, because every time that we talk about it, I'm like, you know, I want one too. But like, I don't buy it. And then we're in the same place.
Why?
It's because it's not a need. It's just like a vain want. Exactly. And like, we are not in a place, both of us, like economically, where we're like, let me have this like vain want.
Oh, yeah.
We're not there
yet. My mom messaged me and she was like, what do you want for Christmas? Like, and I was like, literally, if they weren't so expensive. I was like, I want a set of new pots and pans. And that is like the most boring thing ever. No. But I was like, I want a set of new pots and pans. I have the only set we have is from when we first got married, and they're like not in good condition anymore. And they weren't even really that nice to start out with. They were just cheap ones from Walmart.
Yes. So, that is everything we own. The panic that filled my chest when my father, who's coming tomorrow and is cooking in my kitchen, which is worse because he's going to open up all my cabinets. You bet I organized all of those shelves.
Oh, yeah.
Deep clean the refrigerator. I was like, what? Utensil drawer? Oh no, I have to pull all the cash out or else he's gonna think I'm weird. Anyways, he's like, he texted me and he's like, do you have like a 16 quarter pot or a quart pot? And I need a 5 gallon, blah, blah, blah. And I need this and this. And I'm just sitting there like, what?
He's gonna be cooking in your kitchen.
I don't think my father realizes that, like, we are still college kids. Like, as much as I would love to, like, pretend to be cool, Tanner graduates from college
this week.
Like, I want us to be graduated. I want to be an adult. But we're not adults yet. Like, I don't own a cast iron pan, okay? Like,
they're really hard to take care of. And I personally don't think they're worth it, so.
Someone's going to leave a review. Like, I really hated the way that Anna said that.
They're going to be like, it's because she's not seasoning it right. I know I'm not seasoning it right. I don't care.
They're like 4 stars because I just clearly think that she needs to understand. Someone did that with me at Etsy.
Oh my gosh, really?
Someone did that with me at Etsy like last week, and I never told you about this because you're like in baby mode, bless your heart. But she messaged me and she was like, oh, this came as an off print, which like sometimes I can't control that. It's just like whatever the distributor is. And I was like, yeah, I like responded immediately, sent a message, got it taken care of within like 30 minutes. And she left me a review. She was like, it misprinted. I'm leaving 1 star. And if it changes, then I will change my review. And I commented and I was like, bestie, I literally
responded to you within
2 minutes. I was like, honey, I'm sending you another one. You get to have 2 sweatshirts.
Yeah. What a devious. You know what? I bet people do that so that like, they're like, no matter what, they're going to have to fix the problem because they don't want to deal with this 1 star review.
I have a 5 star freaking review. I wonder if I'm like going on Etsy right now being like, what? Okay. We should get to the meat of this.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit. I've got 3 orders this week. Wow, I'm like really cool.
Yeah.
Wow. You can really dance. Sorry. I'm sorry. Have you listened to the entire thing of that?
No.
We're not going to go there. But the music video was incredibly entertaining. And why I can't, you know, like how they had that TikTok trend where you like put your arms through the sleeves?
Mm-hmm.
My legs are so long that I need myself in the face.
That's hilarious.
Like I was trying to walk around and like the leg ratio of my like short torso body, I just like need myself in the face.
Of course you did.
You know I'm a gift. Okay.
You are.
Let's go. Let's talk about books.
You are. Christmas Rex 2022.
We're gonna start off strong, but also spicy. Hide your wives, hide your children, hide your ears, and skip ahead like 10 minutes if you don't want to hear my in-depth review of this.
Let's get to it.
Go read it.
Sorry. I'm like, we can get to it if I decide to get on my game.
Love
Light Farms.
Go ahead.
5 out of 5. Where the love light gleams.
Oh, wait. All of the books I'm about to because I read like 14 of them. This is under the childhood best friends / Hallmark plot.
There are sections.
There are sections. There's enemies to lovers. There's Victorian. I got you. So this is childhood really best friends.
She came. Okay. Lovelight Farms. Where the lovelight gleams, a pasture of dead trees, a hostile takeover of the Santa barn by a family of raccoons, and shipments that have mysteriously gone missing, Lovelight Farms is not the magical winter wonderland of Stella Bloom's dreams. In an effort to save the Christmas tree farm she's loved since she was a kid, she enters a contest with infamous influencer Evelyn St. James. With the added publicity and the $100,000 cash prize, she might just be able to save the farm from its financial woes. There's just one problem. To make the farm seem like a romantic destination for the holidays, she lied on the application and said she owns Lovelight Farms with her boyfriend. Only, there is no boyfriend. And her best friend, Luca Peters, he just came home for some hot chocolate and somehow got a farm and a serious girlfriend in the process. Lovelight Farms is a romantic comedy featuring a handsome, freckled data analyst, a messy, optimistic Christmas tree farm owner, and a small town with the best hazelnut lattes on the East Coast. This sweet and steamy romance is a holiday happily ever after. It's the first book in a series of interconnected standalones following the three Lovelight owners. Love this. Okay, tell us all about it.
Okay, so first off, I just need to say that, like, I thought this was going to be, like, all of the other books besides this one are 100% clean. Of course, we're starting with this one because I'm like, hi, Dad, while you're still listening, I read something very steamy. So it is so good. This is the best book. The way that I will pitch this to you is that it is Beach Reads level of funny and, like, good banter and also depth. Like, I cried because I connected to the character so much.
Oh, gosh.
And I, like, when she was happy, I was happy. It's also because I'm in an incredibly emotional state with my life when we're trying to find jobs.
That's true.
And stuff. So, like, like, if somebody was like, you know, the sun rose today, I'd be like, the sun rose? So, like, I might not be a great person to like, but, like, I loved it. I, like, happy cried. But let me tell you why this book is so good. So, like, you're obviously getting, like, all of the Hallmark vibes, but you actually care about the characters. The way that she writes all the small town characters are so cute, and you remember all of them. It's literally like you walked onto the set of Gilmore Girls. Like, that, like, you know how everyone has, like, you know Luke, and you know Kirk, and you
yes.
know, like, you know everybody. That's literally what's happening, but it's, like, a Christmas tree farm, and her, like, two
I love that.
Co-owners are, like, amazing. One of her coworkers is this hot man that that adopts kittens. Like, he's a farmer, but, like, within 5 seconds, I was like, I will follow this man down
we
a
love that.
Hole. Not a pole. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Down a fiery road. I don't know how else to explain this. Sorry.
We got it. Rabbit hole.
And he has, right? He has a whole book. The next book is his.
Oh!
And Luca, we, as the readers, within the first second of meeting him, we know that he has been in love with this woman for 10 years.
Oh, gosh.
And it is so evident. It is so evident. And she doesn't have, like, the I'm oblivious thing. She knows that he kind of, like, she's like, sometimes he'll look at me and maybe he likes me, blah, blah, blah. But the reason why is she has, like, really, really, really good reasons for why she's not in a relationship.
Okay.
And it's so good. So, like, and, like, she has to work through that through the book, but it's, like, he's right there holding her hand to it. And this man will not stop touching her and holding her, and, like, they're fake dating, and, like, they are also fake kissing and fake everything else. And
we love fake dating so much.
And, like, the scene when they finally go from, like, best friends to, like, more, it was so hot because it's like, you know, when you first date someone and you, like, don't know how they feel, and suddenly they're like hold, like, you can feel them touching your hand, or, like, you know when you're, like, about to, like, make out with someone, and, like, it goes from, like, like that first kiss feeling where you're like,
yeah, oh, like the butterflies in your stomach, the
multiple times 800. I, like, had to keep reading. I was like, this is my line is like, I don't want to know anybody's body parts. I don't want to know any, like, positions, right? Like, if there's something like that, I'm usually out. This woman was, the writer was so tasteful and classy that, like, I was in the middle of a sex scene. And I didn't even realize it. I was like, oh no.
Like, how did this happen?
I've been bamboozled.
That's impressive writing, though.
It was so good. I literally had to put the book down and be like, Tanner? It was delicious. It was so good. And, like, aww. Obviously, there were parts, a couple parts I had to skip. But, like, I loved this book so much. And I, like, want to reread it again because it
was. Oh, my
was
gosh. Starting insane. Off strong. Yeah.
Yeah. I love this book. But also, like, it's like 3.5, and they included an explicit extra scene from his perspective when he is
Wow. The author really said for you, a gift for you. Merry
Yeah,
Christmas.
and the words are like, he's like, I've always just wanted to make her feel this happy. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's not real.
No.
But you know what? Read that book. It'll make you want to put your
Magical.
husband under the mistletoe, okay? So it's fine.
Sounds amazing. We
Okay.
start off strong. Okay.
Enemies to lovers, go ahead.
Yeah, right. Now we're in the enemies to lovers section, and this is called Christmas Baggage. And you rated this like a 3 out of 5. If there is one thing she has learned in England, it's that not all English men are created equal. Because this guy was turning out to be a real pill. That's cute. Tired of spending the holiday throwing up on cruises with her parents and, being dumped by ex-boyfriends, Claire Frost is determined to change her luck this Christmas. Taking time off from her flower shop, she follows her friend to London, ready to enjoy all things England. And boy, does she. The frost-covered flowers, the frozen green hills, the bright red telephone boxes, the festive Christmas markets. Also the men, definitely the men. Except, of course, her friend's cousin, Liam Everhart, is super attractive, super swoony, and super English. Too bad he's also a super jerk whom she now has to spend every minute with. What a blessed relief that his Darcy slash Poldark looks are overshadowed by his Darth Vader Malfoy personality. She had enough Christmas baggage to deal with, so why would she ever add a swoony Englishman to the mix? This is a clean, sweet, wholesome romance set in present-day London, England, that features the enemies to lovers and forced proximity tropes with a guaranteed happily ever after. Okay. The descriptions are good, right? You've got Darcy Poldark with Darth Vader Malfoy personalities. We love a bad boy.
I
Tell
need
us
whoever
more.
wrote this to write my synopsis for my book because instinct like. And the okay, so let me explain where a lot of these are coming from and why I had such a selection to choose from. So there are a bunch of brilliant authors that decided that they would conspire together to create a series of standalone books, but they're all kind of like around the same theme. And so these books are like called like the Christmas Escape series. And so everyone is written by, I think it's a really great way to like, when you finish one book that you randomly find, and then it's like, oh, here are the
Another
other
one.
series that can be books
Yeah.
that can be read in whatever order. Then, people are, it's a great way to get other people to like read their books and stuff. And so I just think it's like a super fun way for me to like get to know these authors and get a chance to like kind of see their writing styles and find out if I like it. And then I'm ended up like basically reading all of their other books. So I just think it was like a super cool one. So this is the Christmas Escape one. And basically what it does, and I think this is so fun, is that it takes all of your favorite like holiday tropes that or like even escapisms that are amazing, and then it like you get a book for it. And I'm going to talk about another one at the end, but I'll kind of like so this one obviously takes place in England. There's another one called Host for the Holidays by Martha Keys, and that one takes place in Paris at
Oh my
Christmas.
gosh, okay.
And then there's Faking Christmas by Cindy Seal. That's the one I'm going to talk about later, and it takes place in Vermont at like this beautiful lodge.
Magical.
And
Yes.
for
Wait, I read that one.
you read it?
Yeah.
Did you
That's
finish
like the only
it?
one I read. It's
Did you
good.
finish it?
Yes, it's good.
Anna, you're back.
I'm back. I'm back, baby.
Okay, cool. Well, you're gonna review that one. A Newport Christmas is about a baker who makes a gingerbread house for a wedding and her. I'm like in the middle of it and it's okay. It's not amazing, but it's cool.
Yeah.
And that's a Holiday Paradise takes place on the beach and a cruise with I don't know if it's a coworker or something, but it's I haven't read that one yet, but I just know that it's like and basically it takes you through every single like Christmas tradition or holiday or whatever. Like in England, like they go and tour all of London and they go to Harry Potter studios and stuff. And so you get to experience it as if you're on a vacation. Later
Yeah.
on, we'll conspire as spies.
Okay,
As
that's amazing.
spies. And I don't remember Cotswold's Holiday. I don't think so. But anyways, I give this a 3 out of 5 because I haven't finished it. I don't think I gave it a chance because like I think they bantered a little too much and like they were recruiting. Like it was the point where it was like a little too strong of enemies for me in at Christmas time.
Yeah, you're like, listen, we need to like a little more friendship
I was like, could
levels.
we have some Christmas cheer? I bet the elf on the shelf is watching you guys, and you know what? You guys are being naughty.
And he's not appreciative of how you're acting right now.
Pull for all of you. So, I will say, but I think it'll be fun. I need to keep reading. I think I'm gonna put it down. Also, her name
Yeah, that's
is
okay.
Claire Frost.
I was gonna stop when I was reading and be like, Claire Frost, really?
Yeah. Yep.
But the author knew what she was doing, right? She was like, you know what? I'm gonna go there, and that's okay.
Yeah, we love it. We think it's cute. Yeah, that I think all of them have like horrifically whatever. So yeah, so I'm excited. Liam's hot. Oh, my only gripe is that she's like, he's so mean to me. I can't stop staring at him. He's so hot. Like, I hate him. Like, and I'm just sitting there, like, stop being attracted to him. Like, stop it. Like, yeah. If you mention the way that he, like, fits in that shirt, I will literally hit. I think that's why I stopped
one more time.
Because I was like, I can't right now.
I'm dead. I appreciate that. I appreciate the honesty.
This is enemies to lovers, but it's also, okay, I'm just going to warn you all. We're now going to go to Victorian England. So we went to London, England in modern day and age. Now we're in Victorian England. You're welcome, everyone.
We love it. We love it. All right, so this is a sleigh ride kiss. A man she disdains and a man she loves. What happens when she finds out they're the same person? I already love this. Odette Goodson lives with her grandmother in the beautiful Cheshire, I cannot say that right, country, county.
Cheshire. Nope, I was trying to correct Cheshire. You. And I was like, now I don't know
what
to
say. You know what's weird? In my head, I'm pronouncing it perfectly. But I guess there's a mistranslation.
It's like the Cheshire cat. But now I'm like, is it the Cheshire cat? Oh, no, I don't know.
That
there
feels
are
right.
Listeners in England right now sitting there just being like, you hoes.
Idiots. Right. All right. From the top. Odette Goodson lives with her grandmother in the beautiful Cheshire County. This Christmas, she wishes for caroling, snow, sleigh rides, plum pudding, and a lit Yule log with friends and neighbors all around. Her matchmaking grandmother wishes for her to marry the Marquis of Wilmington. She's heard only unflattering things about him. To her grandmother's consternation, Mr. Wardley shows up on a country lane, a man who seems to be everything the Marquis is not. Henry Wardley, the Marquis of Wilmington, arrives from the East Indies. These words, man. In Cheshire County.
How dare you?
What is it? Is it Marquise?
Yes.
Wow.
You're just trying to be French. It's fine. It's fine.
I'm on it sometimes, and sometimes I'm not. And right now, here. Henry.
No,
Wardley,
it's okay. That happened with
Marquise
Adrian Young.
Of Wilmington.
No, this happened when I was trying to do Adrian Young in front of Adrian Young. Remember when I was trying to read her book and I was like, how do I pronounce anything in this?
And you're like, I suddenly don't know how to read.
I was like, Adrian, I don't know how to say words. Okay. Mourning her loss.
Yeah, 6 months after his mother's funeral, mourning her loss with a new shipping line at stake, his own estate to salvage, responsibilities in Cheshire County frustrate him and slow his progress. But he cannot help but be jolly at Christmas time, particularly after he runs into the lovely Miss Odette Goodson. Things feel complicated when she confuses him for a gentleman farmer and has shown nothing but disdain for the heretofore unknown Marquise. Grandmother Amelia Laurent Goodson will work her matchmaking magic, but will it be enough to overcome the strong prejudice in Odette's preconceived notions or the immediacy of Henry's needs to be in London? This sounds like kind of like Pride and Prejudice a little bit, right?
Yeah. I will say this is not like, I need to like start off with this. This is another series. So there's another like five authors and five books.
Another book in a Christmas matchmaking series.
Yes. So A Christmas Matchmaker is the next thing. And it's so cute. It starts off. So basically what I've gathered from like reading like four of these is that all these like Victorian grandmothers are like trying to get all of their little ones to like be in love and like do all the things. And so you get like these little like, how is blah 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 doing? I was so happy to hear blah blah was doing. So like you kind of like figure out like
we're all interconnected a little bit.
But it's so cute. This one is like, I don't think it's the most deep one out of all of them, but this one is like, it's just fun. Like and also she is stupid. Like her, like she's like Emma from Jane Austen. So like it's Pride and Prejudice, but it's Emma. Like you know how with Emma, you kind of like laugh at her.
Yes.
Fun at her, like that's what it is. So she's kind of like, yeah. So she's like, kind of, it's fun. But I've only read the first half of this. I'm actually reading it right now. One of my favorite things about Victorian romance. Okay, fun fact about me is that I love Victorian Christmas books. They are my favorite. There's an entire episode where I have like 12. This is last year, like last year's Christmas episode. I went off about all of my favorites, and those ones I am still in love with. They're so good. But what I love about Victorian Christmas romances is that you just get to experience, like, because they always have, like, balls and, like all these, like, little Christmas traditions and sleigh riding and snow. And that's, like, when, for some reason, like, everybody has to be pushed into the mistletoe, so you get extra kissing and extra cuddliness. Right? And I love it. I love it. So The next one in that series that I loved. Okay, so I'm just going to read the ones that aren't in there. I have not read A Wish for Father Christmas. I have read A Sleigh Ride, or I have read A Yorkshire Carol. It was okay. It wasn't like the writing was, oh wait, was it? No, A Tangled Wreath. Like the writing, the dialogue was boring. It was like, what are you doing, mother? I am very happy today. And I was like,
eh. Oh yeah.
I didn't even make it past the first chapter, so. Mm-hmm. But A Mistletoe Mismatch by Sally Brighton, that one can hang. That one was freaking good.
Okay, okay.
It's enemies to lovers. It's so cute. It's so cute. We love it.
Okay, yeah. In fact, the A Mistletoe Mismatch, here's the little back page for that right now.
Okay.
If Jessica and Ellis can put the past behind them to work together, it will be a Christmas miracle. Former childhood friends fight to end one relationship while trying not to fall into one of their own. Christmas comes but once a year, a relief for Jessica Nettle, because that means she need only see the horrid Mr. Webb when he visits his cousin. Jessica has been at war with Mr. Webb for 7 long years, which started as innocent pranks escalated into a war. This year promises to be the worst of all, especially when Jessica learns that her sister is falling in love with that cousin. A match between the two of them would be a disaster. Ellis Webb spends every Christmas in the country with his cousin. The holiday is one of the highlights of his year, despite the prickly Miss Nettle's attempts to ruin it for him. This year, Ellis's cousin has a mind to marry, and he's looking with increasing interest at Miss Nettle's younger sister. Such a marriage with such a family will surely end in disappointment and broken hearts. When Miss Nettle proposes to Ellis that they join forces to keep the ill-fated couple apart, he swallows his irritation and agrees to her plan. Amid the merriment and celebrations, Jessica and Ellis scheme to keep two hearts apart, but as the days pass and the magic of season works upon Jessica, she realizes she may have lost her clever game and her heart to her enemy. Adorable. I'm obsessed.
It was so cute. I think this is the one that like kind of got me into it. This was like the gateway drug mm-hmm. for me. I will say, as like a diehard Little Women, I feel like it's hard for me to say this. This is like the Lori and Amy vibe, like the one that they're pitching now, not the actual one that's like in the book, because that's hard for me to like accept. I have so many feelings about that I'm like trying to repress.
Lawrence Pugh like, and Timothy Chalamet really did favors for them.
Really did. And I think that the screenwriter Greta, I think that's her name, anyways, we are not talking about that right now. So it just has the vibes of like girl that was in love with a boy for a really, really long time. He didn't notice that she existed. She kind of felt really kind of sad about it. And she's gonna like mess with him. And she's like, she's kind of had to be hard because she doesn't want to like mm-hmm. feel anything for him. So it's very like similar. And I think like Lori discovering his feelings for Amy is very similar to Ellis's. So that's like kind of what it is, but like better. And it's not Lori and Amy. Mm-hmm. There's no Joe. So you can actually enjoy them together because so many feelings that I'm like,
yes.
So anyway, so Lori and Amy from Little Women vibes. So
I could get with it. But I haven't read the book, so.
I haven't read the books either. Oh, I'm just kidding. I really liked A Mistletoe Mismatch. And there's some good kissing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think there's like a midnight kissing scene, like after everyone's gone to bed.
Ooh.
And they've had like a fight.
In Victoria, England?
Mm. Oh, I know. And that's the thing is, I think like sometimes like it's really fun to see how writers, I think that would be the hardest thing with Victorian writing besides all of the research that you have to do is the like, how do I get these people to touch or kiss without them breaking Victorian rules?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Some authors are pretty good at it. Sometimes I'm like, this is too unrealistic. Her hair is down. Somebody would say something about this.
Yeah, I would be, or like when we were reading, what is it? The Pride and Premeditation, we're like, they're kissing in public?
Oh, and just in the square. They're like kissing in the public square. And I'm like, nope, never. No.
I was like, no, I expect an engagement, a proposal, and then a chaste kiss behind the closed doors of a study.
All right, what do we have next?
The Christmas by accident audiobook.
Okay.
This is the only one that, oh, I have a whole thing about audiobooks. Okay, go.
Okay, okay. Carter is an insurance adjuster whose longing for creative expression spills over sometimes into his accident reports. Abby works for her adoptive father, Uncle Manny, in the family bookstore, the Readmore Cafe. Carter barely tolerates Christmas. Abby loves it. She can't wait past October to build her favorite display, the annual Christmas book tree stack, which Carter despises. When an automobile accident throws Carter and Abby together, Uncle Manny, who is harboring secrets of his own, sees a chance for lasting happiness for his little girl. But there are so many hurdles and not much time left. Will this Christmas deliver the miracle everyone is hoping for? Where love and Christmas are concerned, there are no accidents. Dude, Uncle Manny better not be dying. Is that the thing? Is that what's happening?
Oh, fetch. Oh my gosh, this is the wrong one. Okay, first off, I listened to another one. Hold on, let me pull it up. I did.
Well, there you have a book blurb for that one.
No, okay, so that one is... I listened to the first chapter and I thought it was really good. But it's about this guy. Like, this is my first reaction to this book that I thought was absolutely hilarious. What is it called? Hold on. There was another Christmas book. I have so many Christmas books.
There's too many.
They all have Christmas in the title. Christmas by Accident, A Christmas Guest, A Christmas Grace, A Christmas Journey. I like can't.
Wow. I think this is hilarious.
Anyways, he is just like, his accident reports literally goes like this. He's like, the way he gripped the handlebars as he kissed the edge of the concrete as it jammed, you know, and it's just like him describing a motorcycle accident.
And that's how he described it.
That is your first introduction to the book, so I thought that was wild. Okay. But the audiobooks, I will say, just go on Audible and then just look up literally like the word Christmas and include it in your membership, and there's like hundreds, and it's beautiful. They did not have that selection at Halloween because I was preparing for it. I was trying.
That's okay.
I will end with something that surprised me and ruined everything for me, and it is about a murderer. Do you remember me prepping you for this? And I was like, hey,
you did. You did prep me for this.
On the Audible account, and I feel so bad for anybody. First off, Anne Perry's books are super good. So, like, if you want to enjoy these Victorian murder mystery Christmas reads, please stop listening to me. If you want to instead hear a brutal, graphic description of how the writer of these books murdered someone and then has written over 100 murder mystery books, please stay on. Please stay on.
Celine, it took you a minute to get over this, and I don't even think you're over it.
I don't think I'm over it. I can't listen to it. Okay, so first off, on the list of all of those books that are under Christmas, like A Christmas Guest, A Christmas Grace, I was listening to them while I like cleaned my house, and I was like, these are absolutely delightful. It's like little old women and little pastors and little like a newlywed couple that is trying to like survive. They solve these little mysteries in these Christmas towns, and then they always end with these very Christian messages about forgiveness and love and family. And I'm like, how adorable. But like, there's a little bit of murder.
No, you're like, this is perfect. I love this.
This is perfect. I was raving. So, and there was 8 free books on Audible. And then I look and I was like, oh, she must be a really famous author. So, and I looked at her like little biography about the author, and it's like, she's written over 100 books and she's like got all these awards. And I was like, this is my girl. Let me go stalk everything she's done. And I looked up her name, and then I found out that she murdered a person that was her friend's mother with her when she was 15. And
I thought that was like wild.
And I thought it was like, no, like I was like, oh, okay, like that's weird, but like.
Like maybe it was some weird car freak accident.
Yeah, like maybe it was an accident. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No. How do I told you it. How do I say this politely? Like
it was like premeditated.
It was heavily premeditated,
mm-hmm.
and also so violent.
And it took a while to get the deed done.
It took a while. It took a lot of physical strength.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to clean up a lot afterwards. And she was raped 5 years later, and has changed her name and lived her own beautiful life. And
she served her time, I guess. Apparently, went through a metamorphosis, and now she
writes very these innocent, books. Chaste books. Yeah, she's a very Christian lady now, and she's good. But I just think it's very interesting that she chose as her medium to write murder mysteries when she has genuinely murdered the heck out of someone.
You were telling me that somebody like asked her, and they were like, "Is there like a connection?" And she's like, "Oh my gosh, I had never thought of it like that." I'm like, "That has to be a lie."
There's so much more that I could like go off about, but like I don't want to taint this Christmas beautiful thing.
Right.
All I want you all to know is that I'm not over it.
You never will be.
And I never will be, and she almost killed my Victorian Christmas vibes. Like, there was a few days where I couldn't read any other Christmas books. I was like, what if they murdered someone too? And I was like, I get, like, I'm a method writer, but I think that there's some things you just shouldn't do to become a better writer.
Yeah, and I agree.
And on that note, Merry Christmas, you guys. I hope that you just get to read all of the Christmas books and let us know what your recommendations
are. Yes, read all of these. They're really good.
If you want any more recommendations, there's an entire episode from last year where I go off. And that episode is incredibly dirty and explicit. So listen with care.
It is. I mean, and we didn't, the explicit books, obviously, we did not read.
We go from sweet to, we go from not, from nice to naughty. So.
I mean, naughty. Yeah.
It's a cackle. Like, you're going
to cackle. It is a cackle. That is a perfect way to describe it. It's a cackle.
So, anyways, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Smoochums and mistletoe.
Yes.
Snuggle your families.
Love it.
Love you guys. Talk to you later.
See you next time. Bye.